TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are at pick number 9 of the draft, held by the Arizona Coyotes. They are on the clock, and after the Coyotes make their pick, then it is the Ottawa Senators. And you heard right there the last 5 of the last 6. I think Jacob Bernard Docker would be on that list as well as a first-rounder of the Sens in the Trent Mann era. And this is the 5th draft that Trent Mann has been the chief scout of the Ottawa Senators. And, boy, I see a lot of social media talk and a lot of talk from fans that in Mann we trust, right? Yeah. And wherever the Ottawa Senators end up going, and it will be dictated a bit by what Arizona chooses, everybody's on board because everybody's buying what Trent Mann is selling these days in terms of his impact as the scouting director for the Sens.
Well, you know, it's the proof is in the pudding. You look at the prospects that they have developed and the areas that the rest of the league looks at, and one of them is the goaltending, and you look at what Ottawa has built as far as a stable of goaltenders. You can't say single-handedly because there's no franchise that operates with the single hand of anybody. But if you look at the strength of the amateur scouting and the drafting of this franchise, in the end, when this rebuild has turned from a rebuild into a playoff team and then a team that can contend for something, both of the Manns, their fingerprints are going to be all over this. You know, the developing of the guys that one brother selects at some point almost always goes through the other brother. There are some like Tim Stützle that bypass the AHL, but that's, you know, the exception. Most players go through. So, you know, the Mann brothers, when this team is good again and is a competitive team again, two of the biggest reasons for that will be the Mann brothers and their contributions to this organization.
Lloydie?
No, absolutely. Sorry, I was just trying to think about how this is going to play out here. With if Dylan Gunther goes here, then we get to Ottawa coming up at with the 10th pick.
They're taking a goalie.
And if they don't go goalie, is there a possibility that we trade out of this pick a few spots as well? If they think they can still get a goalie, if that's what they want to do. Some other names to look at. You're looking at Chaz Lucius. You're looking at Matt Coronato, who Craig Button seems to think might be one of the best goal scorers in this draft as well. Cole Sillinger, son of, briefly, a former Sen, but he was briefly with a lot of teams,
yep.
and Mike Sillinger. So there are some other options, non-skater, but, man, it's certainly looking like, you know, if they're sitting there at 10 and both those goalies are there, we'll see.
Here's the Arizona pick.
Draft for the Arizona Coyotes. Darryl, you're up.
The Arizona Coyotes are proud to select from the Edmonton Oil Kings, Dylan Gunther.
All right. So okay. It was 9 skaters for the first 9 teams, and that's the way it ended up when it was all said and done. So Dylan Gunther, the right winger from the Edmonton Oil Kings, is the choice of the Arizona Coyotes. Again, they got that pick in a trade with Vancouver. If you're just joining us and you're wondering, hang on, how's Arizona get there? So that's why Gunther is now an Arizona Coyote, and so the Sens are now on the clock.
Do you think that, and we'll find out later, but do you think Gunther was on Ottawa's radar? Not just that, you know, he's a high-end player, but if you look at Ottawa organizationally, right now, of the, 43 contracts they have, so AHL and NHL contracts, only 4 of them are right-wingers. They don't have any right wingers in the organization. I don't mean just the NHL. In the organization, Brown, Batherson, Watson, and Logan Shaw. That's all they have after the guys that this week the general manager said they weren't going to go after as far as RFAs go. And that only gave them 2 more right wingers. So this guy is a right winger from the Oil Kings. And I have to think organizationally with a lack of depth in that position, he would have been somebody that they would have looked at pretty seriously, I would think.
Well, they had the draft capital if they wanted to, Lloydie, with 2 high seconds. If they wanted to move up for one of these players, they could have done that, but they chose not to. They have stuck, Ottawa has, in the number 10 hole, and now they are on the clock. 4 minutes to go for the Ottawa pick, and the 9 skaters that everybody had projected would go to the 9 teams have gone. And so now the million-dollar question is, will the Ottawa Senators go with a goalie in this spot? If it is goalie, which of the 2 will it be? If I had to guess, I think it ends up being Jesper Volstad, but I guess we'll find out. Let's do a quick poll, you guys. What do you think the pick is? Is it skater or is it goalie? Lloydie?
I'm going to go with a bit of a gut on here. I'm going to say it's going to be Chaz Lucius.
All right.
Really? I think it's going to be the goalie. I think they've got a whole wealth of talent in that area. But if you draft a guy like this and after another 2 years you think he might be that elite goaltender, man, the other guys you still have under contract become huge bargaining chips in the marketplace.
Yeah, yeah. I, for the longest time, I don't want them to choose a goalie. I would like them.
But a guy who could be Vezina.
Oh, I know. But my thinking is, I still think, Dean, that they could use a real high-end forward. I think if I kind of look and project, they got lots of nice players, and they certainly have lots of jam, and they've got good size and everything. I think, and this, I believe, should be, if everything works out well, this might be their last time they're going to pick in the top 10 for a while.
So let me ask you this.
So take a flyer on
If it is a guy like Chad Lucic.
Think delicious.
Yes.
Lucic.
Do you think he's going to be any different, any better, or about the same as the three young centers you have right now?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and if he's not, I think he's, I'd have to double check. I think he's a left shot. So if you're not going to play him as a center, do you play him on his wrong wing? Because you're not going to take Brady off the left wing down the road. You're not going to take number 18 off the left side. You're not going to take the new number 21 off the left side. So down the road, when he's ready to play in 2 or 3 years, whose job does he get? I just don't think right now for them, unless you are in love with a guy, I don't know where the next young center plays in 2 or 3 years when he's ready to play.
Right. The thing about Lucius, if that's the guy, right, they have projected that maybe he moves over to the wing as well. You talked about, and he's a right shot. You talked about the shortage of right shots.
He's a right
shot?
Team.
Yes.
Yeah. So that there's an option for you.
Right.
But that's the option. You're drafting him as a center, but likely he'll never play center. And that's fine. You still filled a need.
You know? I wonder if... you know what, Ottawa, you know, with Brady, I'll go on a flyer and I'll go Cole Sillinger. I'll go with, you know, they have not hesitated in drafting sons of former NHL players as well. And he is right in around this slot, talent-wise. Yep. So Dean goes goalie. Lloydie, you're going Lucius, and I'm going to go Cole Sillinger. And I'm basing it on nothing.
So that means it's going to be Coronado, yeah. And we're all wrong.
who, by the way, I got so many names going through my head. Craig Button said today he's the best goal scorer in this draft,
yes.
In his opinion. So yeah. Matthew Coronado is, I think he had 41 goals in 40 games or something this year. So anyway, again, we're awaiting the pick. In fact, the pick is in, according to our NHL video here. So we're just waiting for the commissioner to take to the podium and throw it to, I guess it'll be Pierre Dorion or Trent Mann. Who do you think actually makes the announcement, Dino?
I would think it would be Pierre. Well, no, you know, I think the last couple of times Pierre always hands that off. So Trent Mann, or maybe they let the new guy do it. Maybe Pierre Maguire steps to the microphone.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe they'll let the new guy in.
One thing we do know, the pick is in. They have not traded out of this spot, which is what some people thought, that maybe somebody who wanted the goalie trades up with Ottawa. They go back a couple of spots and still maybe get the
one thing
the
I know for
wanted.
Sure, whoever they pick, Pierre Maguire knows where he went to elementary school.
Absolutely.
No question.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, again, Ottawa's pick is in. We're just awaiting the announcement. This thing has all been done virtually, so it's many people in many different places all pulling it together as far as the announcement goes. But Ottawa is ready to go with the 10th pick. Pierre Dorion had said it was a very high probability they were going to take in this stay in this spot, which is what they have done. And don't forget, by the way, they've got two pretty high second-round picks as well. For tomorrow. So they'll have an opportunity to get another couple of key players as well. But right now we're just awaiting the throw to the stage and finding out who the pick will be.
Pierre Dorion will be making the 10th selection in the 2021 NHL draft. Pierre?
Thank you. I would just like to say a hi to all our fans watching on TV. J'aimerais juste saluer tous nos partisans regardant la télévision. We can't wait to see you again on October 14th. The Ottawa Senators are proud to select. Les Sénateurs d'Ottawa sont fiers de choisir. From the USA National Team Development Program, Tyler Boucher.
Okay, so there we go. And the scramble is on to find out
wow.
about Tyler Boucher.
Bob had him listed at 29.
Remember that joke I made with you yesterday? Okay.
A right winger.
What's that team?
It's okay. A right winger.
It's a right winger, and he's American, and they have never shown a hesitation to choosing players out of the American developmental team. So there we go. So the pick for the Sens. is 6'1", 205, right winger Tyler Boucher from the U.S. developmental team. So I didn't do a whole lot of studies of Tyler Boucher because I didn't anticipate him going to the Sens. So what do you got on what the scouts are saying?
Well, he's from that hockey hotbed, Haddonfield, New Jersey, which I've never heard of before. A North American skater, obviously, being from New Jersey. Craig Button said he has a straight-ahead approach and can be an imposing player that gets defenders unsettled when he's attacking, a catalyst-type player who creates opportunities for himself and the team. Craig Button says he reminds him of Josh Anderson. So a big, angry, forceful kind of aggressive player.
Hopefully he shows up more often.
Yeah, yeah. But if he is what Craig Button says he is, that is the type of player that this head coach will very much appreciate.
Right. By the way, he is a commit to Boston University, so one would presume at least off to school for, and they were very upfront all along that whoever they were going to be able to get in this spot was not going to play for the team this year. But Tyler Boucher is the pick of the Sens, again, a Boston University commit. Lloydie.
Got a little bit more here. This is courtesy of Grant McCagg from Recruits in his write-up on him here. Doesn't hurt that he's a physical specimen, conjures up comparisons to Chris Kreider from the Combine. Told our guys, as the scout, that if there was a Combine, he would have crushed it. He's 216, he's jacked, and he's got 6% body fat, power forward type, has missed a lot of play action due to injury, had an MCL injury, so not as much of a viewing with this player. So this is something that maybe the Sens think is under the radar, picking him at 10 because of the injury situation.
Yeah, only played 12 games this year and had 6 goals and 5 assists. So, again, statistically, he's not going to jump out at you. But, and again, without knowing a lot about the players, we're flying blind like most people are this year. Everybody said this was going to be a draft which was very fluid, I don't remember who I read yesterday, but when somebody talked to one GM who said, I guarantee you in the top 15, somebody's going to choose a player and we're going to go, wow, we didn't even have that guy in the first round. This may be the first one right here, right there.
Now, you mentioned bloodlines. He is the son of Brian Boucher. So he has hockey in the blood from a professional level and obviously has grown up in and around the game, which
didn't want to be a tendy like his old man.
I guess his old man maybe was smart enough to get him to not be a tendy. Maybe that was the brilliant stroke here, is the dad convinced him, son, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so there we go. Bit off the board. And again, we're going to this is where, you know, lots of people have him ranked further down, so Ottawa will likely get hey, what's your grade average on Ottawa's draft? And so they'll get a C or whatever. But again, as I've said, you know, many people have seen the work that Troy Mann has done, and they are believers, and so they'll probably get a lot of rope for that as well. Let's before we talk more about that, the Columbus pick is in. Let's go to that.
Season that we had, we really appreciated. With the 12th overall selection, the Columbus Blue Jackets are proud to select from Sioux Falls Stampede, the USHL, Cole Sillinger.
All right, so there we go. The second pick for Columbus in the top 11 of this draft is Cole Sillinger. They had Ken Johnson with their fifth overall pick, and they had Cole Sillinger. So a couple of skilled forwards going to Columbus. So tell you what, let's take a break. We're due for a break, and we'll come back. We'll reset here, try to get a little more intel on Tyler Boucher.
We need to do some reading.
First-round pick of the Ottawa Senators, 10th overall, a bit of an off-the-board selection, I think, just based
done
on...
Done some research not related to Bobby Boucher.
Okay.
Not.
Based on rankings.
Could have used that aggression.
Exactly. We have been told, by the way, by the Sens communications people that they would, whoever the Sens chose, that we would be able to get them on. So stand by at some point here this evening before we wrap our coverage up. We hopefully will connect with Tyler Boucher. Again, right winger, Boston University commit, U.S. developmental team is the first round pick of the Ottawa Senators. We'll come back and give you more coverage when we return here on our live coverage of the 2021 NHL Draft. JR, Steve Lloyd, and Dean Brown with you on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
The Ottawa Senators are proud to select. Les Sénateurs d'Ottawa sont fiers de choisir. From the USA National Team Development Program, Tyler Boucher.
Your home for Sens hockey. This is the 2021 NHL Draft on TSN 1200.
Welcome back, everybody. JR, Steve Lloyd, and Dean Brown with you. We're not quite sure who had the who reacted that way, because that was from I don't think that was from the Sens draft room, but somebody reacted that way to the Sens selection. 10th overall of right winger Tyler Boucher.
I know this, JR. We have a new drop.
Yeah.
Radio station. We're always looking for sound drops, right? But somebody said, yeah, Hammer's ready to go. Yeah. That's a wrench for you guys on Fridays right there, right?
Okay. Tyler Boucher is the son of former NHL goaltender, now between the benches guy, Brian Boucher. But he is a forward, unlike his dad, a right winger. Again, had some injuries this year, only played 12 games, 6 goals, and 5 assists. Bob McKenzie tweeted, "The most common scout comment on Boucher during my interviews, quote, he's not Tom Wilson, but ... So as you mentioned, Dean, DJ Smith's going into the last year of his contract, and so we'll see how that plays itself out. And Tyler Boucher is going to Boston U. He's a few years away probably from being in the NHL. But this seems like a DJ Smith kind of player.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that he's a right winger. That's an organizational need for the team. But, you know, the coach wants to have a certain attitude on this team, and having physical, truculent players is important. And the other thing that, you know, it sounds bad when you say it, but with the reduction in the league in fighting, if you look at style of play, with the, not absence, but great decline in fighting, the acerbic, sometimes weasel-like, cheap shot players have more of a berth than they've ever had. So if they're good at that role, while traditionalists might not like it and might want someone to go punch them in the face, the reality is there's not many people in the league who punch people in the face anymore. So players like that can have a larger role on your team and in the league than they used to. And while some people think those kinds of players are not an advantage to a team, the reality is, though, you might not personally like them, if they can play that way effectively, they can be a huge advantage. I'm not saying he's like Marchand, doesn't have that kind of skill level, obviously, but you use him as an example, or a Gallagher, or you have to ask yourself, you know, if you're a fan of one team, you hate him because he's not on your team, but you cannot deny the effectiveness of that style of play now in the league, where you can't just go and punch them out of the game because you don't like them.
Yeah, the thing we're seeing, and to me, when I watch hockey now, there's regular season NHL hockey and there's playoff hockey. And regular season NHL hockey, you can be successful by playing a skill game, and you know, the other team takes penalties, and you score in the power play, and you pile up the goals, and you win a bunch of games. And then in the playoffs, and how many years in a row we've seen this play itself out, where the referees don't start calling anything, it's not as many power plays, there's not as much room, and the bigger teams end up, you know, more often than not, winning games and winning series. And you know, not that Tampa's the biggest, but how did Tampa start winning Stanley Cups, right? They added guys with edge. They added bigger guys on defense, and they added Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow and those types of players. And all of a sudden, their skill guys, you know, played with a little more edge as well, because everybody else in the team is playing that way. So, again, I don't know anything about who the Sens have picked, but, Lloydie, I think we're seeing now in what they've done. And last year, remember Tyler Cleven? They went with Tyler Cleven, a big defenseman, and everybody
traded
was
up in the second round.
Yeah, that's a reach or whatever. Like, the Sens, to me, are building a team. They think, you know, if and when they get to a point where they will compete for playoff spots, that is the type of team that can win in the playoffs.
Well, I found another blurb here on Tyler Boucher, and speaks to what you're talking about. This will be, I'm sure, the way Trent Mann speaks about this pick, the way Pierre Dorion speaks about this pick, exactly that. They project this type of player to be the kind of player that can help you win a playoff series. So this is from HockeyProspect.com. Tyler is a throwback power forward, plays with an edge, represents a bygone era in some ways. Pound for pound, Boucher's arguably the heaviest hitting prospect available. He doesn't just look to finish his hits, he looks to turn players horizontal into the boards when he upends them. He makes sure that when he's on the ice, every opposing player is well aware of where he is. In turn, he creates hesitation in players during puck retrievals, creates hesitation in players who need to take a hit in order to make a play. Goes on from there. So right, you got an idea what his game is all about.
You know Brian Boucher very well, by the way, and as you said, you know, former goaltender. He strikes me, and I've never met him, strikes me as kind of a very nice human. So to have a son who appears to be very edgy is interesting.
The
to
one
me.
You don't want to tangle with, to be honest with you, is his sister. We were doing a broadcast when he was in Philadelphia, and we talked about, I forget what it was, but his sister at home watching perceived us to be implying that his teammates didn't like him, which was exactly the opposite of what we were talking about. Anyway, she got a hold of the TV station and made an official complaint because she thought we were being mean to her brother. So,
okay,
the goalie, Brian might not be, but don't mess with a sister. We were talking about off the board, and this one isn't totally off the board. Bob McKenzie had him 29th on his list, but I just had a chance to look at a couple other lists. Button didn't have him in the first round. Elite Prospects didn't have him in the first round. McKean's didn't have him in the first round. Cosentino didn't have him in the first round. So you would have to consider this to be, I would say, the first true off-the-book pick. But you're right, I think, in that it fits exactly with the philosophy of what kinds of players they want to develop going forward. So this team, not just that player, but this team has that attitude. And then you just kind of project in your mind, later on down the road, is he going to be the kind of guy that would fit in with a Brady Tkachuk kind of player, or an Alex Formanton who's a bit of a cheap shot guy at times, or a Batherson stick your nose into it? And you can start to see that this team in 3-4 years could have a top nine set of forwards that nobody enjoys playing against. And that's, I think, clearly the style of play they want to develop for this team.
I 100% agree with what you've said right there, Lloydie. But again, my thought on where they might go with this pick is I just wonder if they're going too far in a direction of kind of going with not that it's just size and brawn. This guy has some skills. You know, he projects to maybe score 20 goals in the NHL. But you do need skill as well. That is today's NHL, right? It's skating and it's skill. And we mentioned about the physicality. I just wonder if you can have too many of these types of players.
Well, it also goes on that he apparently has pretty good hockey sense as well. So it's not just this big guy that goes up and down and lacks that part of his game. So, but I know it's the 10th pick overall. Nobody had him here. Everybody's trying to wonder what the thinking is.
We're all scrambling here, folks.
Oh, yeah. We're all scrambling.
We're not ready for Tyler Boucher.
But I think as we're all reading up on it, learning more about the player, that's obviously the logic, right? They believe that, you know, this is the kind of player that they need to add. And to Dean's point, right, and you made the same point as well. So what did Tampa do, right? They bring in guys like Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman, basically for glorified rentals. They rented them for a year and a half, right, and win a couple of cups. They spent first-round picks to bring those guys in. So maybe they're thinking, we're going to need something like this. We really like him. He's got to have some skill to his game. You can't just be the 10th overall pick, and you're just adding that element here. So I'm curious to hear from Trent Mann and Pierre Dorion with a little bit more context.
Yeah, and again, we are expecting to be joined by Tyler Boucher at some point before our coverage wraps up this evening. He is the 10th overall pick, the first pick of the Ottawa Senators. By the way, if you want to text us your reaction to this, you can at 12-1200. This comes in. He might be fine now, but wow, what a buzzkill. We might have outsmarted ourselves this time, writes Unsigned.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? What you mentioned, Jared, but you can't have too much of that. I look at this, and I look specifically at this draft. I would wonder if the draft was as deep, for example, as last year's draft, if they would take this type of player this high. But in a draft where everyone has said, once you get outside the top 10, top 15, it's not a particularly strong draft. So if you're Ottawa and you're looking at the skill level of the players that's still available to you, I would be asking myself, and I'd be asking my scouting staff, if I'm Pierre Dorion, are the guys we are likely to get, are they better? Are they more skilled than Brady or Josh Norris or Shane Pinto or Drake Batherson or Tim Stützle? You know what I mean? So you can justify to yourself that right now, with what we have right now and what we have on the way playing, you know, in Belleville, our skill level is just fine right now, and we're going to be adding to that with what we already have. In a couple of years, when Austin Watson isn't here anymore, who's our grinding third or fourth line right winger that nobody really wants to play against and might draw some penalties and have people hate him? Maybe this is the draft where we go after that style of player, because there isn't a plethora of high-end skill guys in this draft.
Right.
So, you know, some of it is circumstance and the overall strength of an individual draft that plays into who you pick and what's available. And we'll get a chance, and when we get a chance to talk to Pierre, we can ask him that question. But I wouldn't doubt that the answer was that where they were picking at 10, anybody with a higher skill level than what they already have was already gone. So let's go in a different way, a different, you know, a different kind of idea of what we need to build this team.
All right. So as we've been kind of reviewing the Tyler Boucher selection by the Sens, by the way, two more picks have come in. Calgary went with Matthew Coronato, the American forward, big-time goal scorer who Craig Button called the best goal scorer in the draft. He goes to Calgary. And Buffalo just selected Swedish forward Isaac Rosen. So those are the latest two selections. Buffalo, by the way, had that pick from Philadelphia as part of the Rasmus Ruustalainen. Ruustalainen?
Yep. Ruustalainen.
Trade from earlier today.
You were right. Coronato had 45 goals last year.
Yeah.
Only played 48 games. He scored 45 goals.
Yeah. Let me power through a bunch of texts that have come in. Didn't we already draft Ridly Gregg for this role? That's from Unsigned. Someone else says, need some scoring. From Cork, the question had been posed to Trent Mann, and in general, with the abundance of Sens prospects, would they feel more comfortable taking a swing on someone they love a little bit off the board? That comes from Cork. So there is that thought as well for a bunch of different reasons, Lloydie. Again, because this was such a crazy year in which the scouting was just that this may be the type of year in which you might have a guy slotted into a spot that no one else has anywhere close. And that appears, based on the way the rankings are, that where the Sens were with Tyler Boucher.
Well, this isn't as much off the board as what the Jackets did at 21 last year with Igor Chinnikov, but
where you had NHL scouts who didn't know who he was, that one?
and you had people doing shows like the one we're doing right now that basically, like some of the national TV shows, like, I don't know, I got nothing on this guy. So that was last year. It's not like that. Like, he was still ranked towards the end of the first round by many of the publications here as well. But I think a lot of Sens fans are going to have that feeling of who is this guy? And I understand why. Because, listen, we went around. Who do you think? I think maybe it's Chaz Lucius. Dean says, maybe it's going to be a goalie. How about Cole Sillinger? We had all these usual suspect names here. Nobody was thinking Tyler Boucher. Right?
I wanted on the record, Lloydie, that I was the closest because his dad is a goalie. So technically, of the three I was the closest.
I picked the American. How about that?
I picked the guy whose dad played in the NHL, and his dad played in the NHL. So I win on that
what?
One. I picked Sillinger and his dad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So anyway, you want to know more about Tyler Boucher and why the Sens selected him? Here is General Manager Pierre Dorion.
We're very happy to make the selection of Tyler Boucher. For us, he's a power forward. He's a guy with great speed. Use his body, but one of the things that he does probably well is his ability to finish, score goals from outside the dots, but also from close to the net and inside the paint.
And you mentioned that you saw him play games recently. I know not live, but...
No, I had the opportunity to watch three of his games, and I was obviously on video this year, and I was thoroughly impressed. Never took a shift off, always moving his feet, always involved. But what impressed me the most is when he had the puck, you saw that he had a knack to go to the net and to try and score.
Perfect.
All right, so there is a general manager, Pierre Dorion, on the selection of Tyler Boucher. Again, he says great speed, uses his body, and has the ability to score goals. A lot of the reaction from fans that's coming in right now, and it's a legit one. And again, if we get the opportunity to talk to Pierre Dorion, whether it's today or tomorrow during our day two coverage, is if everybody else has got this guy way down the board, why not take the opportunity to trade back a little bit? You probably, you know, still would have an opportunity to choose him. That's, I think, a legitimate question. Now, that also means that someone is calling you looking to trade up, and that maybe everybody was just happy to sit where they were, you know, everybody had a selection of players that they felt they could get to. We don't know that for sure, but I think that's the overwhelming kind of reaction is, if this guy's so far down many people's lists, why not trade down and still be able to grab him?
Well, my first reaction to that would be you would still be able to grab him, but Ottawa's almost at the point where, you know, getting a couple of more draft picks is not going to roll the ball forward for them. And if somebody isn't willing to give you something that is a better prospect that you already have or a surefire, true, everyday NHLer today, why would you do that? So I wouldn't doubt, JR, that you're right in the fact that the Senators would have been willing to make a deal to move further down because they had a pretty good feeling this guy would still be there. But what is in the marketplace is going to, you know, somebody offering you a second and a third, you already don't have enough places for all the guys you've
drafted. You got 11 picks next year.
Yeah, you got 11 picks next year. Like, having more draft picks, that doesn't move the ball for you in a lot of cases. And, you know, getting, if someone wants to trade you a pick and a prospect, is the prospect better than the ones you have? Ottawa has a lot of really, really good prospects right now. So, you know, while it's easy to say, well, you should trade to move up or trade to move down. Well, hold on. Like, first of all, a lot of times that isn't easy to do. But number two, in some cases, the question is, for what? You know, if what you need is a veteran guy that can still play at a good enough level to play in your top six, then you make that deal. But how many people in this draft, you know, with the strength of this draft, are going to give you that kind of a player for the 10th pick? They might give you that kind of player as part of a package for the third or fourth pick. But, you know, so when people just say, well, they should have traded down, well, it isn't that simple. And there's lots of different circumstances that make that either possible or impossible.
From Chris in Vancouver, a third-line player in the NHL quite often is a first-round pick when drafted. In Dorion and Mann, we trust. Track record's been great. Let's go. That comes from Chris in Vancouver. And you know, that I think mitigates a little bit of, from some in the fan base at least. They're going, okay, nobody had this guy on their list very high. It seems to be kind of an off-the-board pick, but the track record has been good since Trent Mann has taken over, so I guess let's just go for it. I think that's kind of the mitigating thought in all this. If this was Trent Mann's first draft and they went with this, I think they'd be getting absolutely skewered for this pick.
No,
based on where he was ranked.
Trent Mann has built up, I think, some capital with the fan base. You know, you look at the recent drafts here, and there's a reason why you see in social media and in Trent We Trust. So he has that kind of in the back pocket where I think there's going to be a lot of fans that are still going to be upset with this pick here, but I think there's a lot of fans who remember how upset they were about many picks, or people
Zadina.
Didn't like the Pinto pick, people didn't like the Tkachuk pick. You know, this is the 10th overall pick, still a relatively high pick. It is a little off the board from what we all consume, right, as fans and media. We're looking at guides and or different publications that way, looking at Bob's list and what have you, but Trent Mann, you know, stuck to what he believes in. The 10th pick came along, and they took the best player available in their minds. They trusted their scouts and went with their vision. So you have to respect that, but now we'll see how it turns out.
From Unsigned, Greg is a top-notch pest, but is pretty small. Hopefully he's got Gallagher's game in him. Apparently Boucher is a freight train. Feels like a reach, especially considering he was ranked 29th on Bob's list. Would have loved to have them to picked up Sillinger, then moved the 2 seconds to get back into the first and draft Boucher at that point. So, I mean, we're all amateur general managers. We all like to think this is how it would work itself out. But
assuming that trade was there to be made, number one, and assuming that Sillinger will be anywhere close to the kind of player his father was, there's a whole bunch of assumptions there. And like the previous, it's part of the fun of sports. We all get to pretend we're a general manager. But I think it kind of, for me anyway, goes back to what Lordy was talking about. I didn't see this coming, and I don't know about this kid, but I do know man. And you look at the home runs he's hit. I trust that he and the scouting staff see something that they believe is worth a 10th selection. So we'll find out. It's going to take years to find out, but we'll find out sooner or later, and then we can judge. But I think it's always you're always putting yourself with a bullseye on your back when you try to evaluate the strength of a draft pick the day you select an 18-year-old.
By the way, there has been a trade. The Dallas Stars were set to pick next. They, in fact, traded back in the first round. So Detroit moved up to the 15th pick and took a goalie. And they didn't take the Swedish goalie. They took Sebastian Kosa, the 6'6" goalie from the Edmonton Oil Kings, is now a Detroit Red Wing. So a lot of people had thought that maybe they would use the number 6 pick to choose a goalie, but instead they chose a skater at that point, did Detroit, and selected Simon Edvinson, the Swedish defenseman, and now they get Sebastian Kosa, the highly ranked goaltender, so he goes to Detroit. Dallas, by the way, goes from 15 to 23, so they have the 23rd pick in this round. They also pick up a second and a fifth as a part of that deal to move back 8 spots.
I only saw on one, maybe you, Lloyd, or maybe you, JR, saw it somewhere else. I only saw one list, and it was Elite Prospects, their prognostication. I only saw one list where Casa was ranked ahead of Allstad. And on their list, on Elite Prospects list, they had Casa at 10 and they had Wallstad at 11. So of the two goalies, the vast majority of people who put out lists of some credibility had these goalies flipped as far as when they thought they would go, with the exception of Elite Prospects, unless there's a list I've seen where it also is.
But, well, I got two more, Dean, actually. HockeyProspect.com had Casa at 7 and Wallstad at 15, and Grant McCagg with recruits had Casa going one spot ahead of Wallstad. I think it was 10 and 11 as well. And I'm not shocked by this. I know Wallstad was kind of the early, and we heard more about him, and it feels like Casa was late arriving, but this is a huge kid, and that matters when you draft goaltenders. He is massive, and you mentioned it earlier, comparing him to Carey Price in terms of a draft prospect. This is the best Canadian pre-draft prospect in goal since Carey Price. So I'm not shocked that he goes ahead of Wallstad here, but I don't know how much longer Wallstad's going to last. Interesting with those picks, JR. That's a pretty hefty price. They move up 8 spots to make that pick. They flip the first round pick they got in the
Anthony Mantha
and the Mantha trade, and the fifth is Nemestikov originally
from that.
Yeah, plus a second round pick. So they really love this goalie. That's three pretty good assets to move up 8 spots.
So the top prospects are still on Bob's list, undrafted so far. The New York Rangers are on the clock, by the way, with a 16th pick. Chaz Lucius, still out there. A lot of people had a hankering for him for the Sens in that 10 hole. So he's still available. And the aforementioned Jesper Wallstad as well remains unchosen, as the Rangers are on the clock, followed by the Blues. So again, the Sens have chosen right winger Tyler Boucher, the son of Brian Boucher. He is a U.S. developmental team player who is headed to Boston University. We hope to hear from Tyler at some point during our draft night coverage as it continues. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
Close to the net and inside the paint.
This is the 2021 NHL Draft on your home for hockey in Ottawa, TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, everybody. JR, Steve Lloyd, and Dean Brown with you. Our round one coverage of the NHL draft continues here on TSN 1200. That was General Manager Pierre Dorion speaking about the Sens' first-round draft pick, Tyler Boucher, a right winger from the U.S. developmental team who right now is committed to go to Boston University. But interesting, we have come to learn that he is actually a former draft pick of the Ottawa 67s, yeah. A seventh-round pick back in 2019. So there's nothing wrong with Boston University. It's got a track record. There's a guy that wears number 7 for Ottawa who played at BU who did rather well. So not to say that Ottawa would be in his ear going, hey, why don't you come up here and skate right underneath our noses with the 67s. But, Lloydie, that's an interesting little connection, Ottawa connection from Tyler Boucher.
Yeah, we're looking for tie-ins. There's an obvious one right there. There was another team in this town that had a liking to Tyler Boucher, but obviously he decided to go in another direction, and I know he's going to be speaking in the next little while, and hopefully we'll get to speak to him here as well. And I can see, I'm looking at social media just like you are, and you got the text open as well. And if you're upset with this pick, if you're a Sens fan, because you're hoping for some of the more high-profile names that we were all talking about, everybody seemed to be talking about, benefit of the doubt here. I think what the job the Trent man has done here, maybe just hold on just a little bit and think back to some of the other selections they made, and they turned out okay. But this is the 10th overall pick, where many pundits had it maybe about 20 spots later or so.
Here's another scouting report on Tyler Boucher that I'm reading. A throwback type of player, the type of power forward that's becoming rare in today's game, drives the net with and without the puck. When he gets there, he's got the hands to score goals, getting the puck in tight areas. Can also score by banging in rebounds, tipping in shots, and one-timing a pass from teammates. Creates real havoc in front of an opponent's net. Can also score from a bit further out with a powerful wrist shot. So that is the upside of the offensive game of Tyler Boucher, the first-round pick of the Ottawa Senators. So, again, first and foremost, if we get a chance to talk to Tyler, be interesting to find out what his plans are for the immediate future. Yeah. Is he going to go to BU? Is that a firm thing? Or are the 67s potentially an option? And a lot of people also reacting as well to his reaction to being picked, in which it was, wow, he didn't look very happy to be going to Ottawa. Listen, I wouldn't overread into that. Yeah. You'd be happy as you know what to be drafted into the NHL. And, hey, as the 10th pick, You got an opportunity to whenever you turn pro, yeah. You got a lot of currency to be able to make a whole lot of money as a 10th pick as opposed to a second round pick.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not there yet, Lloydie, but John and I both have children who were teenagers and now who are officially people. And at least, well, you have all girls. I have Connor. There's also the too cool for school. I know the cameras are on me and I don't want to look like a goof to my buddies. So sometimes you don't get the overjoy and the jubilation from the guy because he's trying to look cool on TV, and sometimes you do. So I'm not sure I'd put a whole bunch of weight into that myself, but yeah, that's part of the draft.
A couple more picks have come in. By the way, the New York Rangers with the 16th pick chose Brennan Othman, a forward from the Ontario Hockey League. We saw him at the World U18. A lot of people like his game. And the St. Louis Blues have just chosen Zach Bolduc from the Quebec League. Played in Rimouski, 27 games, 10 goals, and 19 assists. So Zach Bolduc goes with the 17th pick to the St. Louis Blues, which means that the Winnipeg Jets are now on the clock. One of the interesting things, by the way, the Sens tweeted out a little bit earlier this morning, or today, about a minute 45 of their kind of final prep for tonight's draft. And at one point, and listen, it's kind of that pull back the curtain a little bit, see how these things work behind the scenes. But it's very carefully edited. There are no names mentioned anywhere, but they did have a little clip of Pierre Dorion speaking to the group. Hey, you know, I have chosen to talk to a few general managers about the option of using those two second-round picks, and they've got the 39th and the 42nd, pretty fairly high second-round picks, of general managers who are open to perhaps trading back out of the latter part of the first round. So there may be an opportunity for the Sens before the end of the night to jump back into, Lloydie, the end of the first round and get another pick.
Well, wouldn't it make sense at the very least? I can't see them making both those selections at 39 and 42 tomorrow. I could see them at best making one of those picks. And maybe both of those picks are used for capital tonight, as Pierre Dorion alluded to in that clip here. As we have seen this time and time again, more so in the second round, right? In recent years, they traded up for the Cleven pick. They traded up for the Sogard pick. A few years back, didn't work out. They traded up to get Gabriel Gagne, if you remember that as well, into the second round here. So when they have that opportunity, they think there's a player that their scouts feel is sliding a bit and they can jump up and grab him the second round. They've shown that they're willing to do that. With those two picks, that's some really good capital, and how close they are together, wouldn't rule that out at all.
A couple more texts that have come in. Although Sens amateur scouting has been a strength, methinks we could have had Tyler Boucher in the second round. That comes from John.
Yeah, maybe.
How do you know that? How do you know that, John? Like, you don't. I know you're upset, but, like, maybe they had intel that, sure, he might have slid a little bit more, but they thought there was a couple teams that also still liked him as well, and he wouldn't be there. So, I know. Like, it's second round? Maybe. Okay.
He was the 29th on Bob McKenzie's board, yeah. So that's not a
second. So he was a first-round pick on Bob McKenzie's list. So, yeah. You know, come on.
Which is the consensus of, again, top 10 top scouts. Dino writes, plain and simple, we won't know if this pick is good for at least 5 years. Brady was drafted and people were upset. Pinto was picked and people were upset. Nobody knows. I seem to remember a sixth-rounder who couldn't skate by the name of Mark Stone. So give it some time. That comes from Dino. So, again, and that speaks to, again, if this is Trent Mann in his first draft, he's not getting the rope that I think some people like Dino are giving him for what is, for consensus at least, an off-the-board pick, Lloydie.
I think we can all agree. Put your neck out there, making a pick like this.
You know what that is? And Simmer's talked about this a lot. Based on the success that they've had, right? This is a drafting group that that's feeling its oats, right? Yeah. That is very confident in its ability to find players. And this is the type of pick that seems to say that.
And I think if you're a fan of any organization, you want your staff to feel that way. Like, I don't care what the guides are saying or what the media is saying or maybe what other scouts are saying. What are you saying? What are we talking about in this room right now? But it's not just us and we're like, who is this guy? We're scrambling, reading up on Tyler Boucher. Everybody was doing that, all right, and trying to piece together some information. So this is the kind of pick, if it doesn't turn out, people will point back, right?
Yeah.
And say, I told you that was a bit of a reach there. But like I said, you got to go with what your scouts are telling you. You can't go by what everybody else is saying. And we keep saying the same thing. It's a broken record, but it's true. Trent Mann and this staff, I think they've earned the right to trust them. And they decided that Tyler Boucher was their man at number 10.
Yeah, I think you guys are right. You know, he and they have built up enough draft capital that if he goes off the board, he is not concerned that you or I or anybody might think that he's made a huge mistake. It's almost like he's saying, yeah, all those lists are out there. This is my list. Here's what my list says. And you want to debate my list? We'll see what my list looks like against, you know, in 5 years, in 3 years. Go back and pull up all the lists, and I'll show you my list, and we'll see where. It's almost that kind of a thing, because you're right. You know, he and they, as a staff, have earned the right to walk tall. They've made a lot of very, very shrewd picks. And it's not just that, you know, sometimes you get the in my hometown glasses on. You talk about, you know, walk through the rest of the league and hear what the rest of the league talks about when they talk about Ottawa scouting and drafting. It's not just an Ottawa thing. The industry knows. The industry understands. So you think there aren't scouts going, he went what? Man went what? Oh, geez, let's look back over our notes. Wow, okay. You know, it's there has been something earned by this staff, and we'll see. And this, hey, who knows? Drafting on the best day is an imprecise science. But there's a lot more rope given to what Mann and this staff have done based on what they've done. So I'm now anxious to see what he becomes, because I find it hard to not believe in him if Trent Mann does.
Chaz Lucius was the apple of a lot of Sens' eyes with the number 10 pick. He slid all the way down to number 18, but he just got chosen by the Winnipeg Jets. So Cole Perfetti was their pick last year at 10th overall. So Chaz Lucius ends up going to the Jets.
So does Dean lose? Dean cheated. He said goalies. Hey, were you thinking Wallstad more than Casa, though, right?
I said goalies.
Yeah, cheater. Yeah, cheater.
I just went general goalie, general.
Because my guy just went. JR's guy went well ahead of that. And yeah. And you're last, but you can say Casa went, right?
Well, okay. Yeah, right. But I said, right. As I said before, the guy they did take, his dad was a goalie, for heaven's sake. So it's all woven together. It's all part of the same tapestry of intelligence. Which we've all admitted, we don't have a corner on any of that rug. No.
Rob texts and says, I'm just happy they didn't take a goalie.
And really?
Interesting. Jesper Falstad, we're down to 19 now. 19th pick is held by the Nashville Predators, who took a goalie last year in Askarov, so they're not going goalie, I don't think. Edmonton Oilers could probably use a young goalie.
Ooh, so, in 2 years, sure. They could.
Yeah. So
Smith just signed a two-year contract. In 2 years, there will be a job available.
Two picks from now, Edmonton, that would seem to be a landing spot for Volstead, who at this point I think we agree is probably the biggest slider, Lloydie, in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's always one, right? He's the guy. This is the good news for Wallstad, because under a normal draft here, the cameras would be on him now all the time, and his family members trying to talk and console him. And to Dean's point, he's just trying to look stoic. Hey, I'm fine. Like, remember how tough it was? We're watching Jake Chychrun sit there, and after his buddy Logan Brown had been taken, right, sitting in the stands, and well. Hindsight's 20/20 there. A lot of teams would have wished they would have taken Jake Chychrun bit higher.
Then the next one is, after Wallstad gets picked, Fabian Lysell, you're up as far as sliders go. There's a guy who is
he's sliding as
supposed
well.
To be
right.
In the top 15, and we're now moving to the bottom third of the draft. And
lot he's one of those guys that, from what I read, very all over that, like, unbelievable skill.
Water bug.
Yeah, but, you know, he'd be one that some teams would like, but a lot of other teams would go, yeah, we can wait on that. So we just got word, by the way, Tyler Boucher is going to join us here in just a few minutes, all right? So he's doing the rounds, so we're going to take a quick break, and then the Sens' first pick. 10th overall, Tyler Boucher will join us right here on TSN 1200. So stand by. We'll take a quick break, bring you right up to date to where we are in the draft. We're at pick number 19 right now. Nashville is on the clock, followed by Edmonton and then Boston. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But when we return, Tyler Boucher scheduled to join us. He is the surprise first-round selection of the Ottawa Senators as we continue with our first-round coverage of the 2021 draft. JR. Steve Lloyd and Dean Brown with you on Sports Radio TSN 1200.